Welcome to a fantastic word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
It is good to be back up here to get to preach tonight, or this morning, excuse me. Well, listen, are you guys ready to jump into the word for today? Amen. Well, let's do it. We are going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and the title of the message this morning is Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a moment if you're wondering what I'm referring to when I titled this Kingdom Culture. I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, you know, if you know me, many of you know me, you've been around me long enough to know a few things about me, okay? You know that I love Jesus just like you do. I love Jesus. You know that I love my family, love my wife, Linda Bonita Mamacita. Love my wife. I love being a father. I love my children. You know that I love food. Boy, Southeast Texas got some of the best food in America, and I'm not lying. But you also know there's one other thing. You know I love basketball. I mean, I just love it, man. I grew up as a gym rat, and so, you know, I love basketball, and I love getting to share that love with my kids, specifically my oldest daughter, Naomi. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen her before, you'd probably know, man, she's a pretty good little player. And she has a lot of friends that play as well, who also are very good players. And just last month, she had her first basketball tournament with her all-star team, and her and her team, they won all of their games decisively. I mean, they were blowing out teams, and they were no doubt the best team on the court. And not only that, they were also the home team. They were hosting this tournament, and they were blowing them out the water. Well, 3 weeks later after that, they played in their last tournament that they would play in for this little all-star thing, and this time was a little bit different because they were playing on the road. They were the road team. They were the away team. And every team at this point had already seen their best. And they were wanting payback. You know, they were ready to play them this time. And so every game that they played this time around, it was a lot tougher. Every game was a lot more difficult. And in sporting terms, they were in enemy territory. All of the odds were stacked against them. And yet, even with that being said, they were still expected to perform. They were still expected to do their thing. As I said, each game that they played, it was a battle. Those teams, they pushed them and they challenged them more than they ever had been. However, there was only one way to win, and that was to put the ball in the basket more than the other team. That was the goal, and that was the only way to win. And after three long, hard-fought games, those girls walked out of there as champions. And I was so proud of them, man. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, now listen, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a little league basketball game. So it obviously is not that big of a deal. But for them and for the parents, I mean, it was a big deal. You know, they went into enemy territory and they came out victorious. Now, as their dad, you know, as her dad and as their coach, man, listen, I was extremely proud of her and their teammates and her teammates. Now, on the outside, listen, I'm giving them high fives, man, great job. But on the inside, I was like, let's go. You know, I'm just pumped up. You know, I'm just excited. Man, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, when you're just excited. And, man, I was so happy for them because even with the odds stacked against them, they still came out with the win. And as I was thinking about this, it made me think, You know, this must be how God feels about us as his children. You see, because as Christians, you and I, we are all on one team. We all play on one team. And as Christians, we all have a game to play. Only difference is that we play games every single day. The minute we wake up, we're stepping into a game. And the life, our life is the court that we walk onto each and every day. And the goal of the day, the goal of the day is to win the game. Every day, the goal is to win. But there's only one way to win. In football, there's only one way to win. In basketball, there's only one way to win. In baseball, there's only one way to win. No matter what the sport is, there's only one way to win. And for us, there's only one way to win. How? By pleasing God. Now, I say pleasing God, not doing right, because at the end of the day, if we're just trying to do right, then all we're doing is we're trying to earn something that has already been paid for. Is somebody with me? Okay? But instead, it's by pleasing God. Why? Because he has already won. The victory is in Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is find ourselves in him every single day. Start our day with him, end our day with him. We're going to end up victorious. Because the truth is that there are no wins outside of Christ. There are no wins outside of Christ. And the devil's going to do everything he can to make us believe that there are other ways. There are other ways to find joy and peace and satisfaction and to find all the things that we want. However, will make us feel like a winner for a moment, but end up leaving us disappointed in the end. There are no wins outside of Christ. As I mentioned, we play a game every day, and in every game that we play, we only have one opponent. His name is the devil. As Christians, we have one opponent, and his name is the devil. What that means is that your coworker is not your enemy. Your ex is not your enemy. Okay, the person who gets on your nerves all the time is not your enemy. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, in other words, our battle is not with other people, but it says against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual darkness in the earth. It is against the devil. He is the one that we are at war with, and he is at war with us. Okay, our opponent in this game that we play every day is the devil. And even though God is our Father, every game we play is on the road. Every game that we step into every day, when we wake up, we play a game on the road. In fact, we live in enemy territory. The world and the culture that we live in today is not our home. As Christians, this world that we live in, it is not our home. It is not our final destination. I mean, it looks good. It's nice. You know, the gym might be really nice. The field might look really good. The equipment might be great. But we got to remember, as good as things look, as good as things feel, this is not our home. It is not our destination. In other words, it's not our one main goal. We must realize that as Christians, every game we play is on the road. We live in a culture that doesn't celebrate Christ. We live in a culture that doesn't want Jesus to win. In fact, they do everything they can to cancel Jesus. Why? Because the little g God of this world hates Jesus, and he has his hand on the culture, on media, and even on people's minds. However, even with that being true, Even though he has his hand on the culture and he has his hand on media, he does not have the final say in someone else's life. And that is why you and I have to get in the game. It's why you and I have to wake up every day ready to play. Because someone needs to hear about Jesus. Someone today in your life is this close from getting saved. Their eternity is banking on it. They just need someone to show them. They need someone to tell them how. They need someone to shine a light. And as Christians, even though every game is played on the road, we are still expected to win. Every game. We're expected to win because someone else's eternity depends on it. They need you. They need me. They need us all to be a light shining in this dark world. Amen? Well, that's pretty much the message. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, that was the precursor. That was just the setup. So that gets us to our scripture for today. And like I said, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And Paul the Apostle, he is speaking to Christians living in Philippi, okay, which is in modern-day Turkey, a piece of land that connects Europe and Asia together. And there in Philippi, he realized that the people that he's writing to, you know, Paul, he went and he started this church, by the way. You can read about it in the book of Acts. I love that you can go and read these things. You can go and read about it. How Paul started this church there in Philippi. And eventually he was run out of town, but he realizes that these people need a paradigm shift. Because there are some people, although they were Christians, they were not living like they were. Their lives didn't look that way. But it was for a particular reason. It was because there were people who were coming in and who were teaching something different and were trying to get them to sway and to change what they had been taught up until this point. They were being influenced by the Philippian culture around them. So much so that it was causing them to take a left turn and for them to live and to do and to believe things that were not really the word and were not really the message of the gospel. So Paul felt the need to write to these people. He felt the need to address the issue. So let's go ahead and pick up in verse 17. And I'm just going to go ahead and take this verse by verse. Florence, okay, I'm gonna take this verse by verse. So we're just going to start in verse 17. It says this, "Brothers, join in imitating me," he says, "and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." He tells them, listen, I know what they've been teaching you. I know what they've been saying, but remember the example that we set. Follow this example. And listen, anybody else that you know who is doing the same thing that we are, set your eyes and focus on what they're doing. Okay, follow them. What he was saying is he was encouraging them to focus their attention, to change their focus back onto gaining Christ. Not gaining Christ and then doing other things, but simply Jesus. And he tells them how to do this earlier in this chapter. He tells them to forget what lies behind. Forget about what was in the past. Forget about their past failures and their past successes. Paul, he will let them know, listen, everything that they're trying to teach you, listen, I fulfill better than they do. However, all of those things I put behind me. You know, he accomplished a lot in his life. And at one point, it was the main focus of his life. His main focus was to accomplish those things. And then his life forever changed when he had a moment with the Master. He had a moment with Jesus. He got saved. He got born again, and his whole life changed, and he had a new focus. All those things were great. He didn't discount them. He used them from time to time, actually. But it wasn't his focus. It wasn't the focus of his life. Instead, he said, forget what lies behind. And he says, instead, he tells them to press on and run toward what lies ahead of them. And that was Christ. He was encouraging them to pursue their relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said by doing so, they would attain a prize. He was comparing it to the Olympics, of like an Olympic runner. That when he runs for the finish line. So that when he gets there, so that he can win and cross that finish line so that he can receive a prize. And similarly, as Christians, he's encouraging them to focus their gaze on Jesus as that prize. What he was saying is that there is more satisfaction and greater satisfaction in receiving Christ than anything else in life. Eternal life and ultimate satisfaction with God in heaven is what he was saying is the greatest thing that we can ever make the pursuit of our life about. Now, there are a lot of good things in this life. There are a lot of good things in your life, a lot of good things in my life. You know, I remember where I was and to know where I am today, man, I am so blessed and I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. That song we were singing earlier, You Have Done Me Well, he has done well with me in my life. He has blessed me. He has done so much in my life and I'm so thankful. But it would be wrong for me to depart and to focus on the things that God has given me rather than the one who has blessed me with what I have. Amen? And this is what he was trying to help them understand. There is a greater goal. There are a lot of things that bring us joy. However, ultimate joy is found in Christ, a contentment that he is enough. But the devil, he does want to change what we believe to be true. You know, God is telling us that he is enough, but the devil wants us to believe, well, God plus this. However, that is not the truth, because the truth is that the devil, he's always going to do whatever he can to deceive us. He's going to do everything he can to make us believe something that is not true. You know, he can't change the truth. Only God establishes truth. But one thing he can do is change what we believe to be true, which is why we need the Word of God to guide us. We must realize that all the devil's enticements always come with strings attached. It may look good, but it's only a trap. You know, I remember being a young man, you know, being a Christian, and I would, you know, hear people who stopped following Jesus or stopped going to church because they were just saying that, you know, it's just about a bunch of rules. You know, it's about following the rules. But and back then I didn't really know how to respond to that because I just didn't really know what to say to that. But as I have grown, it's the complete opposite. If it's about rules, it's about what I can do. But instead, God desires for us to be righteous for a reason. It's because righteousness is meant to protect you. Remember that it's, you know, God is in the spiritual realm. The devil is in the spiritual realm. There is a real spiritual realm in our life. And righteousness is meant to protect you, to keep the devil from being able to take your heart and to lead you astray and to lead you away from him. The Bible calls it like a breastplate, like armor. And if he can get us to buy in to his enticements, then he knows that he can get us to lay down our guard. And the minute that we lay down our guard, we become like, just before we go to bed, leaving our doors open and leaving our windows open and saying, hey, nobody come into my house. We're only inviting. It's almost an invitation. Righteousness is meant to protect our hearts. It's not about rules. That's not what it's about. He's encouraging them to walk according to him. And Paul tells the Philippians to imitate him. He told them, listen, I want you to be careful who you are following. Be careful who you are emulating. Be careful whose example you are following. But even more, I will take it a step further. He is also encouraging them to be aware of the example that they are leaving themselves. Let me tell you that you are leaving an example for someone else to follow. It is so important. And when I became a dad and I started seeing my kids like say the things that I say, I was like, whoa, hold on, man. Like, whoa. Like, they literally take everything that I say. Well, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians, young people who are young in their faith, who are looking for someone to follow, and they just happen to follow you. And they're looking at your life, hoping that what you, the direction that you are leading, that it's going to guide them in the direction that they need to go for their life. It's important that we are mindful of the example that we are leaving, that we leave an example that is worth following. An example that is worth following. We all know what a bad example looks like, but there are great examples, and you can be one of them. That's what Paul says. But he says this. He says that there are things, there are a lot of things that matter in life, but there are things that matter more. He says he needs more people who are leaving an example worth following. So what does that look like? I said it earlier. And verses 13 through 14, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All this stuff that life has to offer is cool. It's great, but we can't get caught up with it. We have to make Jesus and his kingdom the priority. It's about building a godly life. So what does a godly life look like? This is how I decided to describe it, how I decided to define it. I would define a godly life is to be pleased with God and to be pleasing to God. To be pleased with God in my life, that I don't have to go outside of his will in order for me to find pleasure in my life, but I can be content with God. That is being godly, but also that I am pleasing to him. That I'm pleasing to him. You know, I'm so thankful that as a young man that my youth pastor, that became a prayer that he really got put in my heart, that he would pray all the time, and that I began to pray as a young man, and even to this day, that Lord, I want to be pleasing to you, but there's only one way to do it. It's by following his word. It's to be pleased. A godly life is one that is pleased with God and one that is pleasing to God. And this is the example that we should strive to leave behind, to be content with God in our life and to seek to please him in every area of our life. That's an example worth following. That's an example that we can trust that those who are following behind us, that they are headed in the right direction. But he says this for a reason. Verse 18, he says this, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul was referring to some of the people who were teaching things that were causing them to sway away from what they had been originally taught through Christ. And he said with tears in his eyes, his desire and our desire is that all would be saved. However, there was a different message, a different gospel that was being taught that was leading them not just away from church, that were leading them away from God, and they didn't realize it. And we are living in a culture today that if you take a step back, we realize that the culture is not celebrating Christ. It's not celebrating the gospel. Instead, we see things that are counterfeit. We see things like progressive Christianity. You know, if you've ever heard of it, it's being shared and taught on YouTube and on social media, and it's a It's a Christianity that makes Jesus out to be more man than he was God, teaching that he sinned. Man, that is straight up trash. That is trash. That is not the gospel. That is not the truth. Amen. Okay? And you may hear it, and it's people wanting to feel better about the life decisions that they made. But it's not true Christianity. Universalism that says that all roads lead to heaven. The problem is that it's not true. In fact, it doesn't even make sense. Christianity is an exclusive claim that Jesus Christ is the only way. It cannot be the same as others that say that all religions are the same. Those are two exclusive claims. Islam itself is an exclusive claim. They cannot. But the fact is that it's being celebrated. Hey, what you believe, hey, man, absolutely go for it. Man, whatever you believe, it's fine. It doesn't matter because they all lead to the same place. It's not true. It's not true. It can't be true. Logically, it can't be true, but it's not the truth. Panentheism. Okay? It's not a term that you'll hear, but you've heard this before. You've heard the idea being taught. Pantheism is the belief that God is in everything. Panentheism is the belief that God is above everything, but still he is in everything. Okay? Believe that, you know, that God, you know, he is the earth. He is nature. He is the trees. He is in us. We are all a part of God. That's not the truth. That is false. And it is teaching something, but listen, it sounds good. Honestly, it sounds good. It really does. It sounds like it could be true, you know? But it's not the truth. It's not the truth. Only God establishes truth. And we have to be able to take a step back and realize that culture, in general, it is selling and promoting things that run against kingdom culture, against what the Word of God teaches. Their teachings oppose the message of the cross. And that was Paul, that is what Paul was talking about. And again, he says with tears in his eyes, we have to be careful about what we're hearing. And, you know, me and my wife, we do our best, you know, to really watch what the girls are watching, you know, because, you know, there's a few times we had to have them, okay, we're done for today. I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time. So we're going to move on. And then he continues in verse 19. He says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory, they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. He's not making fun of people. He's not bashing down. He's talking about who we used to be. This is who we were. And he's saying that this is where they're headed. And we're praying and hoping that they hear the gospel and that they would be born again and they would be saved. But as of now, this is the fact. But then he gets to verse 20, and he says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds the Philippians that their citizenship was not only in Philippi. It was in heaven. And being a Philippian citizen in that day was pretty notable. Because it came with Roman status, and that was a big deal back then. So if you said you were a Philippian, you're like, oh, okay. Big dog. You from Philippi. Okay, that was a big deal back then. Okay? But Paul, he was letting them know, even though that you're Philippian, that you are a Philippian citizen, even though there are benefits that come with it and all of these things, he is saying that is not more notable than your citizenship in heaven. In fact, he was saying that your citizenship in heaven takes a higher rank than your Philippian citizenship. He was helping them to understand that there is a different culture beyond the culture that was around them. And listen, I am, and when I say this, I really mean this. Man, I really am proud. You know, being somebody who has traveled around the world, okay, and I've been blessed to be able to go to, you know, to different countries and see, I really am proud to be an American citizen. I'm thankful. We are truly blessed. And I'm happy to be a resident of Texas. In fact, I love living in Southeast Texas. I can go even further. I love it. However, none of those take the place of my citizenship in heaven. They are not the number one, because my American citizenship is where I live. My heavenly citizenship is who I am. What Paul is trying to help us understand is that a kingdom citizenship that you and I have is not just where we live, it is who we are. It is who you are at the core. That when you were born again, the Bible says that you are a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away, and now the new has come. As I said before, as Christians, we play, every game we play is on the road. And we must be careful not to confuse our location as our destination. We have to be careful not to confuse the culture that we are in today, the place where we live today, the life that we have today, as where we're headed, as our destination, as the main goal and the focus of our life. We may live here on earth, but our destination is in heaven. That is where we are headed. We as Christians are the visiting team in today's culture. And there was a day and age where our culture was informed by Christian truths. Now we live in a time where culture is trying to impact and change the Christian worldview. And it is factual. Jesus is not accepted in today's culture. He has been rejected by a culture that has continually tried to cancel him in the media. And the culture of today is against Jesus, and it is also against you as a Christian. They want you and I to conform to fit in. But the minute we do that, we lose our light. Because there are people who need to know who Jesus is, and they will see it in our life. Just like as if we were on the road, as I mentioned, we were on the road, and the culture is rooting against you. However, you and I are still expected to win. We are still expected to win because someone's eternity depends on it. And in the midst of a culture that publicizes humanism, it's all about me, all about my life, that publicizes materialism, all that I can get, as much as I can get, that's what life is about. And publicizes secularism, creating a life without God. I don't need him in my life. When the culture publicizes that, and a culture that publicizes it, God needs you and I to get in the game. He needs us to get in the game for the people who are in our life. Not to sit on the sidelines, but to get in the game. He is in need of us to be kingdom citizens. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I promise I'm not up here just talking about my daughter. I just get these thoughts, and I just remember a couple of years ago when Naomi was playing her first tournament, and she was a third grader, and I remember seeing her play, and she didn't get much playing time. She was a good player. She wasn't that great. But I remember they were playing the championship game, her first one, and she was so excited, but she hadn't played the whole game. And it came to a point where they needed a change in the game, and the coach called her. And I was on the bench, you know, just kind of just talking. And when she got in the game, she looked at her mom and gave her a thumbs up. And she let me know, this is my moment. Boy, I was like, let's go, man. Boy, listen, I got so live. I was like, man, that was gangster right there, man. Listen, But there was that moment, like, she wasn't scared. Like, I'm getting in. This is my moment, okay? I'm going to affect this game. I'm going to make sure we win. And guess what she did? Man, she guarded the best player. Okay, I'm not going to get into all of it, but I was so proud of her. But you and I, we have a chance to get in the game every day. We have a chance to show up. It's an opportunity for, say, coach, put me in the game. I can do this. Listen, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be any of those things. All you have to do is be willing to say yes to Jesus and be willing to seek to please him in your life. And by doing that, you begin to show a light. And that's all people need, is they need to see the light. A kingdom citizen followers of Christ who align their priorities with God's word in the midst of today's culture. Kingdom citizens, this is what kingdom culture looks like. Followers of Christ who align their priorities with God's word in the midst of today's culture. That I'm going to align my priorities, the things that I find as most important, I'm going to begin to align those things with God's word, with what he says, with what is most valuable, with the things, I'm going to say, God, you are going to establish my priorities in the midst of today's culture. Because the culture, society, is going to say otherwise. However, you and I are shining a light. You and I are shining a light. When we live according to the word of God, we are shining a light. You see, culture does not define for us what is right and wrong. Is anybody with me? And that's in general about anything. But especially, okay, the majority doesn't decide truth in general. Unless you're trying to pick somewhere to go to eat. That's about it. Okay? Only God establishes truth. He establishes what is up and down, what is left and right, what is north and south, what is east and west, what is right and what is wrong. He establishes. We align ourselves with him, and that is what kingdom culture is about. And while the little g God of this world has his hand on the culture and media, he does not have the final say in anyone's life. In anyone's life. That includes your loved ones. That includes your coworkers. For this reason, let us be kingdom citizens and shine a light in a dark world. Let us uphold God's word and how we live and how we think. Amen. A few takeaways. Number one, before anything else, you are a kingdom citizen. That is not what you do, it is who you are. You are at the core of your DNA. When you were born again, God, he placed his spirit on the inside of you. He made you born again. In fact, he adopted you into his spiritual family. You are a child of God. You are a kingdom citizen. There is a culture above the culture. Kingdom culture is being a kingdom citizen and living out his word in the midst of the culture today. We are upholding his culture, the culture of the kingdom of God, above the culture we see today. We are kingdom citizens. It's who we are. Let us not get confused with the message that the world is trying to sell. That's number one. Number two, we must prioritize and uphold God's word in today's culture. As Christians, every game we play is on the road. However, we are still expected to win because someone else's life depends on it. We can't just sit on the sidelines. We got to say, Coach, put me in. He's ready. We're ready. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, you and I have been given everything we need to live a godly life. We have it all. He has given us all. It's found in his word. All we have to do is find ourselves in him and we will win the day. Because he is the one who's already won. We are victorious in him. Let us be a light to the world around us. And let us leave an example worth following. And number three, do not confuse your location as your destination. Let us be careful not to mistake the things in this life as the things that truly matter in life. Can I get an amen? And I think that every person in general comes to that point and realizes that it's not about stuff anyways. So the question becomes, what is it about? But we know. Let us not get caught up with it. None of those things are going to go with us in the afterlife anyways. There's only one thing that's going to go, and that's whether we know Jesus or not. Then after that comes our works that we did for him. We live here on earth, but our destination is heaven. If you're, you know, it makes me think about, you know, the 90s, early 2000s, the NOTW, not of this world stickers, you know, when I was in high school. No, you know, nobody, okay, never mind. I remember that, so. But we live on this earth, but our destination is in heaven. Let us live in light of reality that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. We are kingdom citizens upholding kingdom culture, realizing that at the end of the day, we are in a game every single day, and we are on the road in enemy territory, and yet we are still expected to win. And you can. Someone else's life depends on it. Let's get in the game. Man, let's make Jesus first. Let us focus on pleasing God. Let's focus on doing our best to draw closer to him. By doing it, you shine a light. And someone else's life is going to change because of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray that today, God, as we draw close to you, Father, today, as we get ready to leave here today, Father, I just pray, God, that we would realize and recognize, God, that we are kingdom citizens before anything else. Lord, that we are born-again believers called to do your work. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the next step. Lord, help us to draw closer to you, to please you in our life. And Lord, I pray that through that, that you would draw people to yourself. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God